I worry that my boundaries are ruining my marriage, and my partner agrees. Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Hi there.
What's up, Brandon?
I'm a little disappointed this morning.
Uh-oh. What'd I do this time?
Well, I think I'm like the 9 or 10 time repeat champion for the family pumpkin carve. And we were supposed to have it last night, and we kind of got there with our pumpkins, and it was cold outside, and we're like, yeah, forget that.
I think
deep down, y'all didn't want to lose to me again.
I actually don't think you've ever won. But we did get around sitting around talking, then it got too cold, and then the kids were downstairs playing and stuff. And we're like, do we really want to freeze outside here? Should we just hold off? And then we never ended up actually carving the pumpkin. So
it's unfortunate because I had something really special planned.
I'm hoping that we didn't scar our children. Like, that's gonna be something they talk about in therapy 20 years from now.
Oh, my son didn't take no for an answer. He went out there with a knife and cut a pumpkin like in half. He's like, yeah, you know, my eight-year-old, like, he was carving a pumpkin come hell or high water.
Oh, good. There he did it.
He got her done.
Sounds like he won this year.
And then I had to take home this, like, weirdly half-cut pumpkin thing that I guess I'm putting on my porch tomorrow
it's
night.
It's going to be perfect for Halloween tomorrow.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we got a guest today. And so I just want to turn it over to her a little bit. Have her kind of explain what she's been through and have just a discussion with her. So Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. If you could give a little background, a little bit of context, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Okay. My husband and I have been married for 10 years. It'll be 11 in May. And about 2 years ago in January was our discovery date. My discovery date, not his, clearly. At that point, I immediately jumped in with some online coaches for betrayal trauma who I felt like were really good for me in that moment when I wasn't sure what was going on. But one thing that they did was encourage boundaries. What do you need to feel safe was their main question. For me in that time, I had already, within 3 weeks of finding my husband's addiction, I had decided, I told him, this is what I need to stay. I need you to get into counseling. I need you to find accountability partners. I need you to modify the avenues in which you acted out and no more lying. I think those were my things. And then when I joined the betrayal trauma coaching group, I would say they supported that 100% and if not more. But then would also say, they would say anything that you needed to feel safe. So I've heard on other podcasts, like if you need your husband to wear a hat in public to feel safe, you can ask that of him. However, for my journey, that's not what I chose. I stuck with and church was another thing. We have to consistently go to church. I stuck with boundaries for me. Because I needed some kind of foundation, but I didn't want to control him. And I knew that, but I wanted safety for me. I wanted to be able to walk in my living room and not spiral thinking, what is he looking at? But I didn't want to say, I need to look at your phone every second of the day because I need to make sure that you're being a good human. So I did that coaching group for about 6 months, knowing in the back of my mind that I wanted to balance, although they said I could have more boundaries. That's not necessarily what I wanted at the core. I just wanted foundational boundaries of knowing that he was creating the environment that he had promised me in the beginning. He had promised me he would be this certain person, and I basically wanted to call him to action on it. Like, I want you to be the husband that if you're struggling with something, you reach out to an accountability partner, because that's what you had said. For the first 6 months, I felt like he was, yes, I'll do these boundaries, even though they weren't really rough ones. It was basically, if you had played a video game that had pornography on it, just don't do that one. Play another video game. And he got a counselor, a CSAT, who also added more boundaries to him that were no acting out. So no masturbation, no looking at pornography, no fantasizing. No fantasizing was okay as long as he didn't look at pornography, even though I didn't agree with that. I just let his counselor take care of that. That counselor lasted for about 3 months. And my husband, the counselor's requirement was that my husband should not play any video games because he called it another addiction. So that my husband said, okay, fine, I'll do no video games. So he did. But then as soon as that 90-day period of time was up from his counselor's boundaries, he started lying. So then in moments where I thought I was safe, like, hey, this video game that had pornography in it, now he's just hiding it and doing it. It kind of sent me on about a 3 or 4 month of like, I am not safe. He cannot be trusted. He keeps lying to me. I keep finding stuff. Why does he lie to me? Then tells me, hey, I'm telling you everything. I love you. I want to do this. So that lasted about 4 months. So then we're from January. Now we're into October. And I no longer have the coaching for the betrayal trauma, but I am in a group with his previous counselor for a women's group that's the spouses. And that counselor was more along the lines too of, when it comes to boundaries, wives don't have a right to ask their husbands to do X, Y, and Z. They can, or they can ask, but they can't demand. For me, that was kind of a struggle because I thought, well, I don't really want to have every time I walk in the living room and he's on his phone or doing something secretive, it to trigger me. So I feel like for my own safety, I need to create an environment or at least communicate, hey, when you do that, I do not feel safe. And see how he responds. Or I think for me, I actually said, I don't want you to have those video games, or you need to have an accountability partner who has access to your phone so that you have somebody else outside of me monitoring that. But at the same time, I know that I'm safe within my own home. I've got 3 little boys. I don't want them picking up your phone and seeing things that are inappropriate. So then we fast forward to October. We're 10 months into this. And he calls me and says, hey, I've masturbated and I used a fantasy of you having an affair to do it. And that was a triggering point for me, like a catalyst. It was a catalyst for me where I said, you know what? I want to be hands off. Like, it's not my job. I didn't masturbate. I didn't have this affair fantasy. So I just told him, I'm going to take the kids camping and you figure it out. And I disconnected from his recovery. However, at the same time, I told him, this is what I will allow in my life. I will allow you to be in my life, but under these categories. Like, you come into our house, you check the phone at the door. And if you don't want to do this, that's fine, but we can't be under the same roof because I can't function in an environment where you're continually lying to me, but then telling me you're telling me the truth. Then I have another lie the next day and another. Like, I can't grow in that. It's spiraling me. I don't want that for my life. So to make this work, this is what I need. And what that ended up doing to my husband, one, because I was no longer there for his recovery, instead of me micromanaging and saying, oh no, you masturbated. Okay, so that means that you have 2 weeks out of the house. Instead of me responding in that way and just saying you have to process through it on your own, and then in turn me saying, but this is what I need for me to move forward in my life, it sent him into a rage where he got physical and very emotionally abusive. And within 4 weeks was saying, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to go cheat on you. And I said, if you threaten to have an affair with me, or to divorce me for any reason, then you need to be out of the house because I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to take that on. I don't have to hear it. And he left. And that would be December, the first week of December, he left because he was so angry. And he had gotten physical once. And I told him, if you get physical, you need to leave because we have three kids and I wasn't willing to have anything happen with them in the house. And so since December, he has been in this perspective of everything that is wrong in his life is my fault. Everything. It doesn't matter if it was stuff that happened before we were together. And that my boundaries, I'm choosing my boundaries over our marriage. And he'll say it. He'll say, we're getting divorced because you want your safety over our marriage. And I believed it. I did. I'm like, what if I were just different? What if I could just handle him? Or if I responded differently, then he would get into recovery differently. And he's very good at going, and he's good at going to a group, but then lying to the group the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe if I'm different, or if I didn't have this boundary, then he would do his recovery better. But that wasn't the truth. And so then we go forward into, he's been out of the house since December. We go into May, and he took all the finances away. And he controls them. And that was really hard. But he also is in the military. So he was gone a lot through the year, about 4 or 5 months out of the year. He was gone on different missions. So him being out of the house wasn't always just because of us. It's because of his job too. And then he came back over at the end of the summer and he's had all the finances. And in the meantime, he'll pay bills, but only if I make him happy. And right before he came back, we got in with another counselor.
Who was make him happy mean have sex with him?
It would be have sex how he wants to have sex. Don't say anything that would trigger him. Don't rock the boat in any way.
And then he'll pay the bills.
Yes. Okay. And then he'll feel about himself. Okay. But if I do rock the boat, like say, hey, and I had medical bills and he told me you had to choose between food and medical. And I was like, so I ended up having to take the kids to the food bank so that we could still pay medical. But in this time at the tail end of it, in the middle of the summer, I got in with another counselor. It was a CSAT and he got in with him. And I thought it was just going to be him and his counselor. And because I told him our marriage isn't going to work if you don't get help. And after 6 sessions, this counselor who also implements boundaries this one's a hard one. He said in a private session with me, you need to get out of this marriage. He's not safe. He's admitted to not being safe with you physically or emotionally. And I know you don't like this word and I don't either. And I can see why. He said, but he's one of the worst narcissists I've ever seen. And he's very delusional. And I still had a hard time processing that. Because I thought, how can that be if I've seen all these great qualities about him? Because I do. There's a lot of wonderful things about him. But after that session, Caleb admitted to admitted to trying to hire a woman online for sex. And it failed and she duped him, if it were even a she. And he was very upset about it. And so when he said that, I said, when you come home from your mission, you can't come back in the house until you have 6+ months of therapy under your belt. And because of that, he's like, we're getting a divorce. And I said, that's, you know, we need to. And, but even now we're what, into November and we're 4 or 5 months out. And he still will say, we're getting divorced because you're just such a horrible wife and you have boundaries and they don't make me feel safe, or you're choosing your safety over our marriage. And you need to do X, Y, and Z to make this marriage work. So what that did when I first submitted this question is it had me thinking my boundaries are what's breaking our marriage. Because It's just too much pressure for him. But since I submitted the question, I went into an intensive 22-hour EMDR therapy, which was so healing. And I came out just realizing my boundaries didn't break our marriage. It didn't. And I've showed up authentically, genuinely. I would have worked on our marriage. I took on an extra job to pay for counseling. And I just have to rest in that. Like, I can't fix somebody else. And that's just a little bit of our story. And feel free to ask me any questions that you want.
That's a lot of your story. There's a lot there. There's a lot of water under the bridge, Chelsea. Thank you for your willingness to share it. And I just want to kind of illustrate something for our listeners, and then we'll get into this discussion a little bit more. Your story is a pretty good illustration of, I think, what a lot of people experience when they step into the world of boundaries. You know, you step in and maybe you swing one way, which was at the beginning, the boundaries were based off of principle, but they were in the realm of controlling. And then you swung all the other way, which was, I'm going to get my hands totally off of his recovery. And, you know, and then you kind of have nestled in into, hey, these are the core principles that I want to value inside of my relationship. And I'm going to do some things to protect those principles. And that will have an impact on him. I'm not doing it necessarily to control him, but there's an impact there. And I'm going to still hold to those things because that's the truth of who I am and how I want to live. And you've kind of over the course of 2 years sort of done this pendulum swinging back and forth until you kind of have landed where it sounds like you're pretty grounded, at least in the core principles of what you're trying to achieve in your own life and with your kids and things. So I hope people could hear that process kind of playing out as you were talking. I just want to make sure this is a side note, and then I'll then go ahead, Brandon. But did you say you did 22 straight hours of EMDR?
I did. And it was so good. We did 4 or 5 hours a day, but every day for 6 days.
Oh, okay. I was going, yeah. I was like, man, you did a 22-hour marathon. I've never heard of that before.
I drove all the way from Missouri to Idaho to meet with this therapist, and it was so good.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I was concerned.
Yeah.
22 hours straight. Like, I've never heard of that. That's not EMDR protocol. They wouldn't recommend that. But yeah, that 4 hours a day is different than 22 hours straight.
Yeah.
Point. I think like consecutively versus where I was doing it with my therapist at home, it was an hour a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that being really beneficial, really good like that. But when you said 22 hours straight, you should have seen mine and Tyler's
both,
faces.
Me and Brandon both were like, what?
What?
Yeah, and I was like, did I hear that right? And I'm like, I saw Brandon's eyes and he was kind of like, I've never heard of that before. So
I'm a little bit... And Tyler, you might relate to this. I'm a little bit like, there's so many principles here, so many things that we could dig into after hearing your story. And so I'm a little bit trying to be careful. So many things that I just wanted to say and get into. And also, I got to admit, it did trigger some things in me as well. Frustrations that I have with some of the help that you've gotten, frustrations I have with hearing about your husband. And so I just want to make sure we go where we need to go with the time that we have. We could break down boundaries and what healthy boundaries are. We could talk about whether your husband's a narcissist or not. Or talk about what's going on with you personally and how to move forward. But I do think you've gotten some really bad counsel when it comes to boundaries. And
initially, for sure.
Yeah. And not to be the, hey, don't control him guy, you know, but like there's a principle at play there around healthy boundaries that not only were you not taught that, you were taught something that was the opposite of that. It was beyond that. And I don't know if you can actually see it or not. Maybe. What do you think, Chelsea? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. But the good thing is I felt like even though I was being taught it, I didn't absorb it. So from day one, my initial boundaries of what I needed didn't change just because someone said I had a right to request more. Does that make sense?
Right. But boundaries in and of themselves and request more boundaries, I don't even think what you're talking about is boundaries.
Yeah. And I would agree. Right? Someone said I could request more, but I don't feel like it's something I should request, or it is, and it's not my right to say. I feel like I do have a right to ask, hey, if you're looking at pornography on a video game, please don't play that video game.
Do you have a right, Chelsea? You have a right to ask anything you want in your marriage. You have a right to, I could ask my wife anything. Like I have a voice, I have freedom of speech. I have a right to ask. I have a right to say any of those things. Right.
Yeah.
But if my wife rolls her eyes and gives me a bad look and gaslights me when I say it, then she can do that. And so then what, right?
Then I have to say, well, what is it that I'm willing to stick around for?
Okay, good. So, okay.
And then at that point, I would have to evaluate, how does it affect me? Can I process through that? Is it triggering some past trauma that maybe I had? Do I need to process through that? Or is this actually something that I value, is having a spouse who doesn't look at pornography, whether it's even in video games?
But what, Chelsea, I want to ask you this. I want to stop you and ask you, what do you value? Like what is it about him not looking at porn or not playing video games that you truly desire in your life? For just talk about you, not him, you.
So for me, it's not video games. It's not somebody looking at video games. But for me, what do I value? I value honesty, integrity. I do value purity within marriage. If I'm married to someone, I am not going to look at other men and dream about having sex with them, nor would I want my husband to. So those are things that I value.
Okay. Honesty, integrity.
Fidelity.
Fidelity. Right.
Yeah.
Respect. Yeah.
So here's where these programs, ATR, here's where these programs go wrong, is they say, so you're being triggered, Chelsea. You're being triggered by his behavior, and that's a good thing that you're being triggered.
Yes.
So your emotions and your things are coming up. That's a good thing. Okay. Now, because what are they doing? What are those emotions doing?
They're alerting me that something in my environment is not aligned with my value system, nor makes me feel ultimately safe at the core.
Hallelujah. Thank goodness. Yeah. Right. So when you're being triggered, that's saying something to you about you. Okay. And this is where these programs come in, and they say, okay, it's saying something to you about you. So now go to him and tell him something about him. Right. And if the simple definition of boundaries is knowing where you stop and I begin, mm-hmm. if we look at that definition, then going to him and saying, you hold the key to my boundaries, actually is not being boundaried, right? Because I'm over attached to him for my need to be met for my boundaries, right? Whereas if I know myself and I trust myself, then I am empowered to fight for my values and my truths, regardless of him. Those things need to be met. There's certain deal breakers and certain things that have to happen, right? For me to be me in this world and in my relationships, right? And so if you get focused on, okay, I need to make sure he doesn't come. I don't come home and he's playing video games or whatever it is, right? Like I need it. And then that's me fighting for me. No, that's you trying to get him to meet that need for you versus you figuring out how to meet that need for you. Go ahead.
Let me play this out. If, in that scenario, I don't need him to not play video games. In that scenario, I need to be able to walk in my door and not see somebody looking at pornography. So if I'm laying the boundary of, I don't want pornography in my house, not I don't want to control, I want to control you. So if I lay the boundary of, I don't want pornography in my house, if you are going to look at pornography, then you pay out that boundary, right?
Go deeper than that. Okay. Why do you not want pornography in your house?
One, because it's sinful. Two, because I have three little boys to protect. Four, because, or one, two, okay. I don't want, sorry, I didn't count right. I shouldn't have to be submitted to that for myself.
Okay. So when there's pornography in your house, it makes you feel what?
Devalued, of course. Unsafe, because after, it definitely makes me feel unsafe. Like there are idols in our home. And biblically, I know what that leads to.
Okay. So just the,
I don't.
Right. There's kind of a core value. Okay. So yeah. I value feeling safe. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one in my relationship. Like I need to feel safe. I want to feel safe. If I don't feel safe, I can't be close to an intimate with a person. Like, and so for you, when you come home, if there's pornography in the house or if he's hiding it or whatever,
yeah,
you don't feel safe. Right. Now, how do you fight for that? How do you fight for, you know what, Chelsea, me, I am worth it enough to feel safe in my life. Like I deserve that. God wants that for me. That truth is real for me. Okay. So what you've tried in some ways is to say, okay, I have a boundary that you can't do that, husband. No, you better not. Right. And he's like, okay, I won't. Yeah. I resent you like crazy and I'll hide this and manipulate and keep doing it. Right. Versus you stepping into your power of like, I am beautiful. I am loved. I am strong, and fighting for my truths and my values are important. Okay. So what does that look like?
So I don't think that I'm saying he can't look at pornography. I'm saying if you want to live under this roof, that's not something I want to live with. So you can either choose pornography or you can choose me. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
That's
so
much better.
He can look at pornography. Like right now, if he looks at pornography, I don't care because it's not me. It doesn't affect me. However,
do you say that because he's out of the house? Is that why you can say that now?
Because he's out of my environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if he looks at pornography, that's on him. He has to deal with it. Mm-hmm. If he brings it into his new home, he has to deal with it. But for me and my sanity and my value system and safety, I don't want it in my home.
Yeah.
So I feel like the boundary wasn't to say, Caleb, you can't do this. It's, I don't want this in my life. So if you choose to do this, then you're going to have to go elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense? That's much better. Yes. Tyler, any thoughts?
Yeah, Brandon, I think you were... you guys just illustrated the point I was making earlier that Chelsea 2 years ago was maybe trying to go in and had the right values, but was saying, Caleb, you got to stop doing this. You have to be in treatment. You got to do this. You got to do that. Caleb, you know, Chelsea 2 years later is, hey, bud, like I would love to have a marriage where we're actually respectful and where we value each other and where we have an alignment of values. We don't want these things in our home. We don't want our kids to be subjected to this. I'm going to stick to that. And if you don't, I can't stop you, but that means we're also probably not going to be under the same roof. And you've actually gone to the extent now, 2 years later, of being willing, it sounds like at times, to actually have consequences because of his choices of being a small man in the moment of controlling all the finances and saying, yeah, I'm still not okay with these things, right? I will handle the consequences of being financially abused to hold on to the values that are important to me.
That is where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. Because those values are deal breakers for me. And so when he's turning around and saying, your boundaries are ruining our marriage. In the past, it was like, oh, I'm terrible. I can't believe I'm ruining my marriage. Why can't I just get rid of this icky feeling that I've got? Or why can't I get rid of these certain values? And when it comes down to it, if you sit and do the things you did and go, you know what, is this past trigger stuff? Is this past trauma stuff? I'm willing to work on that. But also, no, I really believe that's firmly in my values. Why not wear it with as a badge of honor? Like, yeah, the marriage that we had is not a marriage that I want. Yeah. The marriage that we had is not what I thought both of us were actually signing up for. I, you know, there was some dishonesty on his part. So I'm not going to stay in this marriage that isn't good for either of us. And he can either choose to grow into the marriage that we agreed to or something better or not. But that doesn't mean you're at fault and you're bad for it. It might mean that you're the courageous one saying, let's fight for something new.
Good, healthy boundaries destroy toxic relationships. And so, yeah, your boundaries might be ruining the marriage. But when he's saying your boundaries are ruining the marriage, what he's saying is, I need you to sacrifice yourself in order for me to be married to you. So give yourself up. Don't be authentic. Don't be empowered. And this is classic addiction, is I have my addiction. And so I need my partner to give up themselves so that they'll stay in a relationship with me and I can keep the addiction at the same time. And if they get empowered, like I can't have both. I won't be able to have my addiction and this relationship. That puts me between a rock and a hard place. And it really is this feeling of like, now I got to choose. And oftentimes they choose the addiction. But what they'll do first is press back on the partner and say, no, let's test your actual boundaries, because you'll probably give in and I can keep you on the hook and I can keep you on the line and I can have my cake and eat it too. Right. Which feels very narcissistic, and he might actually be a narcissist, by the way. But it feels very narcissistic because it's all about self-serving the addiction and using the partner at the same time. Chelsea, what are you thinking?
Gosh, this conversation goes so fast. I'm trying to absorb all the words.
You look deep in thought.
I know. It's so much to process. I feel like I'm in a great place with boundaries. And, you know, y'all said something about me not being the bad guy. At this point, I don't even care if somebody thinks I'm a bad guy or not. Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't matter how my husband portrays me in our marriage, because I know who I am. And I don't even think that he's a bad guy. I think that he is someone who is deeply addicted, deeply confused, and is getting lost in his addiction. And I have empathy for that, but I can no longer be attached to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and what's actually, I love what you just said there, because you're working yourself to a place full circle where you're not even going to hate him as the marriage breaks apart and dissolves. It's going to be more of a state of pity and hope that what you're now seeing is the true nature of the addiction coming out and how difficult it is, and you continuing to move in the direction that you're moving because it's right for you, regardless of what other people think, is an invitation for him to have to look at the things. And unfortunately, a lot of times when that starts to change, the old systems inside of him will also happen. And that's where he doubles down on his own pride. And he tries to get things to go back to the same way of operating, or get you sucked into drama, because then it's your fault for something here or there. And the more that you get healthy, the more he's left standing with his ball going like, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And you're like, okay, like, go do that if you want to. I wish it was different. You know, I wish I was had you showing up the way that we thought we were, with honesty and integrity and fidelity in the marriage, especially being able to be a leader over our children. And that's what I'm calling you into, regardless of whether or not we're married or not still. Mm-hmm. He chooses to come along or not, but now you're not attached to having to be dragged down by that if he chooses not to.
And Tyler, I think there's something else that happens with it, which is everything you just said, combined with if Chelsea, we'll use Chelsea as an example here. let's say Chelsea showed up perfectly boundaried. What that means is Chelsea is showing up completely authentic in a relationship. Like she's being authentic and genuine. And when somebody hates that you're being authentic and can't be in a relationship with you because you're being authentic, they are rejecting you. And there's feelings of you're rejecting me. You don't love the actual me. You don't want me to be me. Like you don't. And the truth is that the turnaround of you're destroying our marriage with your boundaries is actually opposite. It's I am opening up a possibility for you to love me because I'm being honest with who I am. And you're choosing not to be in a relationship with me, with I, because I am showing up to this relationship now. So the person with the actual healthy boundaries is actually fighting like crazy for the relationship. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like I have fought like crazy for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think go ahead, Brandon.
Well, and he has rejected you and chosen his addiction over you. But I hear you saying, Chelsea, that you're okay with that. Okay, fine, go.
Because you have to evaluate too. To accept his demands is to reject myself. Mm-hmm. And that's not it.
No way. Not. Don't model that to your kids, right? And mm-hmm. don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, most people, this is a great topic, and it's so good that you're coming to this conclusion and seeing it, because most people, when faced with these kinds of situations, they're faced with the possibility of loss of connection or the possibility of loss of self. And most people would choose the loss of self to try to preserve connection, but it never works, because when you start to lose yourself, you can't actually have true connection. And so you're looking at it from this other direction because of all the work you're doing and going, I'm realizing now that this may not work with him, but I cannot afford to lose myself. And if he doesn't want to be with me, then what I've done is I've stopped wasting time. We will get through this divorce, unfortunately. Hopefully he'll decide to be somebody or do something different for the sake of our kids in the future. And I will get on with my life being myself. And in doing so, I will invite the people that will be right to be in with myself. And I will continue to let the people who are not good with being in with myself to not be there. And so it takes a ton of courage to do that, because our basic human need is connection, especially when we have a family and we have all these pressures, and you have a value system around, I'm assuming with what I've heard you say, that you have a value system around what a family is and what you want to provide for your kids. And so that takes a lot of courage to then go and make a decision possibly that even flies in the face of those other values sometimes. So there's a lot of courage involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt like, well, I do value my family, but my boundaries are breaking my family apart. But in reality, it's not the case.
Mm-mm.
I also wanted to state that when laying boundaries down, before I would get so upset, like, why are you doing this? But now it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't have to stir anger in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to feel like it's no personal attack on me. You know, even if he comes in the house and says, why is it dirty? Or what have you been doing all day? I don't have to feel that. I don't have to own that. That's not on me. And so it allows me to be kind to someone who is not in a healed state of mind yet.
Think how much more powerful you are in that place. When you're not triggered into like all this fear and he could reject me and all the cards are on the table, he holds them, and to like, I'm calm, I'm compassionate, I understand why he's acting the way he's acting, but I'm also honest, like I'm grounded. Your true self, Chelsea, is not full of fear and control and anger.
It was.
Right. But your true self.
Yeah.
Your real self is kind and compassionate, but also powerful and strong and honest. And when you don't have the fear of, like, if he rejects me, I don't know if I'm lovable, when you don't have that fear driving the show, then you can absolutely be compassionate and be boundaried with him.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome. That's another lie that people think. It's a kind of a myth about boundaries, is they think it has to be done from a place of anger, vindictiveness, or whatever. And it's actually the best boundaries are set from a place of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you get to compassion is that you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And you then start to see, you know, his, I love what you said, his response is largely about him rather than you, because you already know who you are and you're not going to change those things. And then you can see it from a set of eyes. It's like, man, when he spins out of control like that, that's, man, that's got to be rough on him. And that's kind of further evidence that maybe I'm making the right choices.
Yeah.
You know.
Can I just add on the side just a little bit? Like when he says the thing about safety to you, like your need for safety is destroying our marriage.
I know. And he said that, I was like, I think Brandon and I both almost laughed, like out loud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why are we laughing?
What's the point of a marriage?
That's what a relationship's built on. Like that's trust.
Safety and trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. I need safety.
Yes. We need safety and trust.
That's so obvious to me that he doesn't care much about the relationship with you. He cares more about himself.
Yeah.
When he makes like crazy statements like that.
And you mentioned the fact of like, do you want to talk about him being a narcissist, or he very well could be? Honestly, it doesn't matter to me. It really just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I feel like anyone could be that. Anyone could have those tendencies. And I don't really know what else you would expect out of someone who has carried this baggage for 30 years.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
Now, if you were able to say, okay, I am a narcissist, or my addiction is just so bad, it looks like narcissism, or whatever it is, but you were able to work on that, get in recovery, not manipulate, abuse, gaslight, lie, destroy safety, then you might be able to stay in a relationship with him. But whatever we call it, narcissism or not, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Chelsea, we're getting to down to just a couple minutes left. What are your takeaways, and what other questions do you have if we haven't gotten to what you needed today?
I think you guys are really good. I think that it is, I know that it's a hot button for you with a BTR. But I feel like there is a way to get counsel from them without absorbing their philosophy. I feel like they did help me kind of get my head stopping from spinning those first 3 weeks without me having to absorb every philosophy that they had. And I walked through it with another girlfriend too. We actually met in that counseling, and neither one of us walked away implementing all of their belief system.
Thank goodness.
However, we did benefit from a short stint in their teaching.
So what they provide is validation in the pain and the gaslight and the struggle. That's needed. That's important. And so like what you just described, the first 3 weeks, like, yeah, they were there for me. Awesome. But yeah, it's a hot button for me, because then they take that validation, they build a platform over fear and control. They have life coaches, not therapists, and they destroy marriages. And so if you would have run with everything they told you, it would have just gotten you further into this mess with your husband. But you were wise enough to say, like, okay, that was nice to get that support and that validation. I'm not drinking that in anymore. And they use that opportunity to validate, to hook you in, and then give bad counsel. And that's why it's so triggering to me, because I see it as really destructive. And so,
and I can see that.
There's my two cents.
Chelsea, I gotta tell you that I love your style. Like, I love that you just kind of went at Brandon a little bit and were like, hey, Brandon, like, stop grinding the axe so much. I actually got some benefit. So I love that you were able to say that. That's awesome. You know, I kind of feel the same way, where I don't grind quite as hard as Brannon does because I do see some benefit there. Like
when, I know the founders personally
when
and
you
well, not healthy. I'll just say that at all.
Brannon.
But Brannon, like, I've listened to you guys long enough too that I was able to get from so many different resources and then be who do I trust? Who do I want to go to? It's the value system. The things that Brannon and Tyler are saying, I value a lot of what they're saying. The things within the BTR, there's things that I disagree with. So, you know,
right.
And I do want to end saying your work has helped me so much in the last 2 years. I have listened to probably every podcast, if not 90%.
So. And I got to say, Chelsea, we are not always right. Like we've given bad counsel. We get, you know, and so like, I love what you just said. I hope that most people can take whatever they listen to. Everybody has a podcast these days. You know, I got two of them. So whatever you listen to, whatever you consume goes through that filter of intuition and that filter of truth inside of you. And you're able to glean from these things what you need to move forward. And you have absolutely moved forward, Chelsea. Like you've been in a tough relationship. You've been through a lot. And you're still sitting here today and you're still moving forward. And whether if you use BTR to help you move forward, then good for you. Like that's awesome. Right. Some here, some there. Right. That's great. So.
But thank you guys for your work.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Chelsea. It's really cool to kind of you can hear in your tone. You can hear in the kind of things that have started to click for you. From an outside perspective and only my opinion, you're definitely on the right track. And I can hear that there's still a lot of work to go inside of your relationship, but you're doing it right. You are doing it right. And you're trying to get to that place of clarity. And when you get to that place of clarity, it sounds like at least the trajectory is that your marriage probably is not going to survive. Mm-hmm. And in this case, that might be the right thing. If you have to sacrifice yourself and your values to save it, it is the right thing.
Yeah.
And so I hear it. I hear clarity in your voice. I hear you thinking both sides, like dialectically. A lot of people can't think. It's just black and white. That's the beginning of recovery for most people. And I hear the gray area. I hear the middle path. I hear you wrestling with both sides, and it's going to lead you to some really good places. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to come on and share yourself today.
Thank you, Brannon. Thank you for dealing with a number 8 on the Enneagram, the Challenger.
I love it.
You did it so well too.
It's awesome.
Like you didn't go straight at him. You just kind of were like, "Hey, look, this is my experience, and I'm going to challenge this a little bit." And I loved it. It actually goes along really well with an episode we just put out a couple of weeks ago about can you challenge your therapist? So,
oh no, you know, I didn't listen to that one yet.
So you did it perfectly. Nice job.
All right, Chelsea. Well, have a wonderful day.
You as well. Thank you.
We'll see
you.